Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of April 4th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach, and this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in. We have tons of stuff out this week. Later on, I'll be talking about Morbius, because I saw that movie. That was a thing that happened. So I'll probably full spoilers. I'll talk about the ridiculous post-credit scenes and how bland that entire movie is. But kicking things off, there's a ton of TV news. Like, I don't know if there's I think it might have been upfronts or presentations going on somewhere in New York, or possibly, or just Bill Everett just decided to reveal new shows. So there's a ton of TV shows news to talk about. But we'll kick things off. It came out last Friday, so it was April Fool's Day. But this apparently is not an April Fool's joke. The remake of The Crow is back on, or a version of the Crow is back on. And now Bill Skarsgård is apparently in talks to star as The Crow.
Yeah, it's his turn now. It's been like a mantle being passed on to any actor that's gotten popular
for
the last 2 years of their fame, and then you're just automatically given The Crow movie.
I mean, yeah, it's gone through tons of directors, Stephen Norrington, who directed The Blade, was gonna direct it at one point. They were gonna have Luke Evans was gonna be The Crow, Corin Hardy from who directed The Nun was gonna direct the movie, and then Jason Momoa was gonna star, and
his test shots as The Crow were amazing.
Yeah.
I think Bradley Cooper's concept art was also really good, and then so was the guy who played Xavier.
Oh, James McAvoy?
James McAvoy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Jared Leto wasn't offered The Crow.
Yeah. And apparently this one is probably gonna happen. It's in pre-production. They have a budget, so Rupert Sanders, who directed Snow White and the Huntsman and Ghost in the Shell, the Scarlett Johansson movie, is gonna be directing this new Crow. So I don't know if that doesn't bode quite that well, but I think he also directed the first Planet of the Apes movie, so I guess sort of hit or miss with him.
Yeah, I feel though The Crow has a good layout of what people expect it to be. You don't see The Crow movies thinking it's going to be some sort of family comedy or anything.
Yeah.
So as long as it's depressing, it's got gothic themes, you really don't stray from that. Heck, even The Crow, Wicked Prayer sort of follows that structure to some point, and it's funny in a weird way more than good. Have you seen Wicked Prayer?
It's no.
The movie that killed the franchise. It became a comedy.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one.
What? You never seen City of Angels?
I never watched City of Angels or any of the sequels.
The made for DVD ones.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't rewatch this one. It's not great. I'm not gonna lie. Anything after two isn't great. Some people don't like two, but I like two. It's definitely not the same as one, but it tries to be certain beats. So if you're doing a pure remake, just sort of follow what they've been doing. But if you're trying to do a new entry, a new revile, I don't know. What would you prefer? Would you prefer for me personally, some of the comics had a different story, and they were fun. They were a lot, and they played around with the lore. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want, is more of that. And they sort of did this other movies, but again, I'm only a outsider looking in. Like, I'm only like surface level fan.
I mean, I think this new one is gonna be like a re like full
Remake
like
of the original,
street
right?
original Eric Draven, all that stuff, so.
I mean, it's fine. That's the movie because everyone's seen the first one more than they had. Like,
Yeah.
I guess I'm a little bit more where I've read a little more of the comics. I've watched most of the movies, so I'm probably not the target audience where they're just going back to square one again. But yeah, like you can't really mess this up. But it just seems like as soon as they get to like pre-production, it falls apart.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on this one, hopefully, or yeah, we'll see if it actually comes through this time, because yeah, it's been like at least 5 or 6 years that they've been trying to make the Crow, or like a new Crow, and probably longer. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on Bill Skarsgård playing Eric Draven, and we'll just see. I'll start believe it's real when if we get like a trailer or something at some point, or like set photos, or like promo shots or something. But other news, we got some news about a couple upcoming Apple TV Plus shows. So Tom Hiddleston is going to star in a show called The White Darkness, which is going to be, it's based on a true events. There's this kind of explorer, like special forces officer Henry Worsley, who was he's descended from one of the guys who like explored like Antarctica with Ernest Shackleton, who's like the first person to ever set foot on the South Pole. And then this like Henry Worsley guy basically became like obsessed with like kind of like reenacting like the journey and stuff. So like he walked across Antarctica with like a couple guys first, and then he did like a solo in 2015. He did like a solo walk across Antarctica. So, and the show's gonna be kind of like, it's based on there's like a nonfiction book about him. And it's gonna be like, it sounds like it's gonna be like a kind of a Tom Hiddleston kind of like solo showcase. If it's gonna be like about him, like just like walking across Antarctica.
I wonder if he's gonna have an imaginary friend or something, or he's gonna be
Well,
muttering to.
I'm sure they're probably like to get other people in there, like to break it up, so it's not just like constantly just like Tom Hiddleston is walking across the ice. Like, I'm sure there's gonna be like flashbacks, or like you know flashback like his family or whatever in like England. Like, why are you going to Antarctica? Like, I gotta do
Why,
this.
Papa? Why? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so no release date on that yet, but yeah, that's gonna be, it seems like that's gonna be a bit like a probably a some sort of like a big acting showcase for Tom Hiddleston. If it's gonna like possibly like the only person on screen for like almost the entire show.
It's a one-man performance, basically.
Yeah. That's gonna be a limited series on Apple TV Plus. And then another show, Shrinking, which is coming from from Jason Segel and the Ted Lasso team, including Bill Lawrence, who also created Scrubs and a bunch of other shows in recent years. But Harrison Ford has signed on to co-star with Jason Segel in that show. And basically, that show's gonna be kind of like it's a dramedy. It's gonna be Jason Segel's like this therapist who has like kind of like a personal tragedy happen to him. So then he starts just like decides to just like say fuck it. And he just starts telling like his cl all of his like patients just like whatever he thinks, like not just like not like hiding it under like psychological like medical
Jargon.
terms, just like telling them just like exactly what he thinks about like all their like problems and what they should do about it. And then Harrison Ford's gonna play like another like shrink who is, I guess, like, or like a psychiatrist who like play is like, I don't know if he's like a rival to Jason Segel, or like maybe like is like finds out about like what Jason Segel like is doing and is like, hey, you gotta stop this, like isn't that what psychiatrists do? But yeah, so but they're gonna co-star together on the show, and so this is like Harrison Ford's like first like TV role basically.
It's weird to think that he just hasn't done that.
Yeah, the only TV thing is like I feel like he's done is like he was in like what one episode of like Young Indiana Jones Chronicles as in like the weird like eye patch version. Oh no, he was an eye patch version. He was just like he was him, but there was also like the even older Indiana Jones, who's like had an eye patch and stuff on that show.
Yep. He kind of looked like his dad, but like with a beard and just like grizzled.
Mm-hmm.
You think we'll get at the eye patch thing in the next Indiana Jones movie?
Oh man, I hope so.
It's where he just failed to mention his son or whatever.
Yeah. My it's just gone. Yeah. So Shrinking it has a 10 episode first season, and that's also coming soon to Apple TV Plus. So that the John Hamm commercial about like Apple everyone just coming to Apple TV Plus, all the famous people are coming to Apple TV Plus, is continuing to be true. Tom Hiddleston, Harrison Ford, probably tons more because Apple has like a bunch of money to throw at people. So other news, we got just a couple. There's a couple renewal news, TV news, or actually speaking of Apple TV Plus shows, their show Severance, they've renewed it for a second season, which that's an Adam Scott, John Turturro, a bunch of other people. It's like a sci-fi show where it's like basically like they have a procedure where it's like if you're at work, you don't remember anything about like your personal life, and then when you leave work, you don't remember anything about work.
That's what the show's about?
Yeah. So it's like if you're at work, you have like, it's like basically you get split into like two different people. So you have like your work persona and you have your like home persona. So if you're at home, you have literally no idea what you do at work. You you wake up, you go to work, and then as soon as you like cross like the barrier at work, like your like brain flips over to like the work side, and then you don't remember who your family is. You don't remember anything about like what happened.
All
like,
the distractions.
Yeah. And it's getting like extremely good reviews. So like, I haven't checked it out yet, but
yeah, I've heard good things. I just haven't taken a look at it.
Yeah. So, but that'll be getting season two. So sometime in the near future on Apple TV Plus. And then Winning Time on HBO Max, the Lakers. Is it the 70s? I think 70s Lakers show with John C. Reilly. Is getting renewed for season two. So. I guess there's more story to tell about the Lakers.
They just do like the next era, or just the same time.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, I wonder if it's gonna be like, because the show right now is like about the '80s Lakers. I wonder if they like just keep going into like the '90s, or if there's another team that'd be like Winning Time. Like the Bulls or something, or like some other NBA team that had like a similar story. I don't know. But I guess it's been picking up. It's been kind of like racking up. Like every week it gets more viewers. So, and it's currently, I think it's 5 episodes into its first season. It's gonna be 10 episodes total, and it's gonna wrap up on May 8th on HBO. And yeah, so then yeah, season two will be in the near future, and then apparently all the NCIS shows got renewed too. If you're a fan of NCIS, which I didn't even realize I looked up this list like NCIS shows. I'm like what, like how many are there now? Like there's like NCIS Las Vegas and like
Hawaii,
yes, yeah. Like
and then the original,
yeah,
which is weird, isn't it? Like Mark. Harmon is done with the original.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. So the original, Los Angeles and Hawaii are all renewed for new seasons on CBS.
Yeah, the only one that actually ended was New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, I thought was there like at least one more other one too? Like there was like New Orleans and like one more.
It's just New Orleans.
It's just there's just like it's such like a crazy, just there's so many NCISs.
I mean, it's just like CSI in that sense.
Yeah.
But at least CSI was like any crime, you know. Navy crime is like, how much Navy crime is there?
Yeah.
The other one was a crime lab series, so I understand why that was happening. You know, as much as people are like, whoa, but like, no, they'll take FBI, like local sometimes they're like taken to other areas that like their lab needs the evidence. You know, it kind of makes sense logically. And CSI is anytime is a naval person, a marine, a navy boat person. You know, just something has to happen for them to go.
Yeah. It's also weird too, because like the entire franchise is like a spinoff of JAG.
And JAG didn't get anything. It's just JAG.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, you know what's coming though?
What?
Just guess.
For like NCIS?
Yep.
I mean, it's got to be a different city. So like.
Yes.
I mean, which one haven't they done? I mean, New York City. I don't know.
Okay, no, they jumped the shark on this one. I just looked this up because I just like, it was, yeah, you're right. It's always been NCSI, NCSI Los Angeles, NCSI New Orleans, and in JAG, right? Those are the main four. And then for some reason, Paramount Plus announced, like, it probably went on the radar because it's just like they just said, yeah, let's just try this.
Mm-hmm.
NCIS
Sydney.
NCIS Sydney.
So they're going to Australia.
Just an Australian Navy branch. But I'm like, I don't know if that counts.
What jurisdiction does like the Navy have in Australia?
I think you're like a visiting military base. Like, I actually don't think the jurisdiction. I mean, every time there's a crime, you basically have to send one representative, but you work with the local police, I think.
Well, I think if it happens on like a base or like an embassy that's basically like the U.S., but then
it has to happen in the embassy.
Yeah, or on like the actual like a base or something. But if it's just in like the city of Sydney, like it's like. Like just like the NCIS team just like barges in, just like, get out of the way, Sydney cops, we're here now.
Like, we're American. And like, doesn't Australia have like a low gun rate too? So
yeah,
like,
I think they're
allowed to bring your guns.
I think they're like, yeah, I think they're like like the UK where it's like it's like no guns or like a countrywide gun ban or something.
Yeah, I think, like, Australia is very strict about their gun rules. Like, New Zealand and Australia, like, they had, like, one big, not even big, but, like, you know, they had an incident, and they're like, yeah, let's just get rid of our guns.
Yeah.
And the only time cops use their gun is when there's, like, a super messed up situation. And you can't do that in, like, you know, you can't do that by today's standards, where it's just like, he's got a gun, so everyone gets a gun now. It's like, no, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
How was he murdered? Oh, someone killed him with like a block. All right, time to get the guns.
Well, probably a lot of like knife, like cracking out a D style knife.
Knife fights.
That's not a knife.
Everyone's just throwing alligators at each other.
Yeah, like it's all the crimes are like, it's like, oh well, it turned out it was like a like this like deadly species of like tarantula that's in Australia that killed, or like a snake or something.
Every villain should just be the wildlife.
Yeah.
What killed him this time? Like, oh, it was a deadly butterfly. Like, oh, okay. No, that makes sense. What about this time? It was a man-eating plant. All right.
Yeah.
Arrest the plant.
But, yeah, so all those shows are renewed, so if you're a fan of any of those shows, you got more coming on the way. And so we also got some news this week about the next... Big John Cena project. He's going to be in an action comedy for Amazon Prime called Officer Exchange, where John Cena is going to be a American cop who has to team up with an Indian cop in India to take down this like diamond smuggling ring. So I don't know how John Cena's like character gets to India, but he's going to end up in India and like have to like work with like an Indian cop to like take down this. Diamond ring.
He would be the biggest guy in India.
Oh my god!
If he tries to go undercover or he has to like dress up, or he'd just be standing out. I mean, I'm for John Cena in awkward situations. I love him in Peacemaker, but is he supposed to be serious cop or like Peacemaker cop?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have like a we don't have a rating or anything, obviously. It's just like they just announced this like this week, so.
I know, but in the sense of like humor, what do you think he would be?
I mean, I would hope for like R rated because like I feel like he like killed it in Peacemaker when it was R rated, but it seems like it could be like a. It could go either way, probably. Like, it seems like it could just be like it could be like 21 Jump Street R rated, or it could be like. Paul Blart or something. I don't know. Like, I guess we'll have to find out. Like, I guess we'll have to find out when they like when you get the like find out what the rating is, or maybe like who is directing it. Because I don't think there's no director yet. I think the guys that wrote it, like one of them wrote like one of the like Netflix like Happy Madison movies, and then the other guy wrote Sherlock Gnomes. So I don't know if that gives the same idea clue of like what this movie like rating wise is gonna be, but.
I totally forgot Sherlock Gnomes was a thing.
Is that like the third one of those?
I think it was a spinoff of like another gnome movie, like Romeo and Juliet gnome or something.
There's like Gnomeo and Juliet, and then I think it was Sherlock Gnomes. I feel like there's like a third one in there at some point, but maybe I'm just confusing it with like the Goosebumps movie, because Goosebumps movie was like heavily featured like evil gnomes.
It's unofficial Goosebumps is part of that universe.
Yeah. But yeah, so this Officer Strange will be on. It'll be a Prime Video, Amazon Studios exclusive. So that'll be on Prime Video at some point in the near future here. And then we also got some news about Bob Odenkirk because the final season of Better Call Saul is starting, I believe, next week on the 12th or no, on the 18th is that when the final season begins for Better Call Saul. But he's going to be sticking with AMC for a new show. So the follow-up to Better Call Saul is going to be a show called Straight Man. And it's based on a novel. It's going to be Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers is going to be directing it. It's going to be a dramedy. And Bob Odenkirk is going to play this guy named William Henry Devereaux the Jr., who is the chairman of the English department at Relton College. It's a tiny little college in Pennsylvania in the Rust Belt. And I guess, yeah, just like whatever, like him trying to like struggle with like this college or like run this department to this college and stuff. And it's going to be, and apparently it's going to be like a lot of like, well, the novel has a lot of, it's told from the first person, so there might be a lot of like Bob Odenkirk like voiceover in the show, but it kind of sounds like Bob Odenkirk says it's gonna be like lighter than Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. It's gonna be more leaning more toward like the like comedy, but it's gonna have like dramatic elements to it, but more comedic than like
yeah, the Saul the just like stuff. Yeah, betrayal and just like just for a basketball team.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, again, it'd be kind of cool to see, like, almost like a Bad Santa-type basketball coach.
But who's that now basketball coach?
Oh,
he's the chairman of the English department.
Oh, that's it. I'm trying to think, for him to try to get, like, school supplies and stuff.
Yeah, because it's like this little Rust Belt college that like has basically no money, so that's
yeah. So he has to like kind of like scam and trick his way up. I get it. It's a nice transition. It's not like Bob Odenkirk goes from that to some crazy like, you know, law an actual lawyer show.
And so that'll be on AMC and AMC Plus in 2023 sometime, so pretty much like it's almost as soon, like, because I think Better Call Saul is kind of running through like most of the early part of this year, and then you'll have like a couple months break, and then Bob Odenkirk will be back on TV on AMC next year, so get ready for that. And I think Nobody 2 is also on the way, I think, too, so.
Oh, that's good. I know Nobody 2 was being made. I kind of like Nobody, but I feel like it became more of a better movie over time, where people got like found it, you know, when, because it came out like during the pandemic, so people were like, what the hell.
Yeah, So we also this week got some news about so HBO Max is apparently working with Robert Downey Jr. On developing like spin-off shows for the Sherlock Holmes movies, which like striking when the iron's hot in those. Like, when did the last one come out? Like,
10 years ago?
it was like over 10 years ago. But yeah, apparently, like they're working on some sort of spin-offs. They're gonna be for characters that were not introduced in like the movies. It's gonna be like they're like introduce like different new characters that like are in like that Sherlock Holmes Guy Ritchie universe. But
You know,
it's not.
like the cop,
Yeah.
or like the chambermaid. What's her story?
Yeah, or like I like I don't know like yeah like what's Sherlock Holmes's brother's name? Like
Minecraft,
Mycroft.
Minecraft,
Yeah, like it's kind of
Minecraft.
like a Stephen Fry Mycroft show, but no, yeah. Apparently, we've never seen the characters that are like are going to be like on the stars of these shows in the movies before, so. You can't really guess like who's gonna be in the show. I mean, and would Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law come back just to be like, hey, we're in the first episode. Good luck. Bye. Like,
They're just there to set it up and then leave.
yeah.
I could see them. I could see them like showing up for like supporting roles, like very supporting roles, or not even, just like you'll see them at the season finale.
Maybe they'll be like, she'll be like, hey, good job.
Or it's like a rival detective or something. We never got into that. Like, it's weird to think Sherlock Holmes never had a rival, like, that wasn't evil, like, just sort of like a wannabe inspector or anything.
Yeah.
Or it's been like his sister in Elite, like, Elma Holmes?
There's Enola Holmes, yeah, which was on
Enola,
Netflix.
yeah.
And then Netflix also had that weird show, like The Irregulars, where it was about like all the street urchins that like help Sherlock Holmes.
That
lasts like
But
one
wasn't that
season.
like at the, not to spoil, but wasn't it like he was evil or something at the end?
I think it was like I think Dr. I think Watson was like kind of more like dark or like sinister that on that show because he was like I think he's the one that was like having them like solve crimes for them or something.
Yeah, but it was like he definitely had like an ulterior motive. It wasn't just like,
Yeah.
oh, this is good for the public. Like, I think he wanted to like become like the underworld guy. I think like his thing was
Yeah.
like he would basically eliminate the competition and then he would be like the kingpin. I think it was implied that way, but I don't think it ever like finished, right? I think they
No,
just ended it.
they canceled that the first season, so if it ended at a cliffhanger, like you're never finding out what happened to that show. I think that show and like oh crap, why am I blanking on the HBO show? I want to say The Gifted, but that was like the like Fox like X-Men show. The Nevers. I think they came out like the same week or something, and like Nevers got way more like publicity because it was an HBO show. So I feel like,
Oh, yeah, it was like old Victorian,
yeah,
like England, and then.
they're both like yeah, like Victorian era. Like I don't know. Did the Irregulars have like? Because I never saw the Irregulars. Did it have like supernatural stuff going on at all, or was it just like?
Yes.
Because
Yes.
I think it's like yeah they were both like Victorian era supernatural like mystery show and then but then like Nevers had like the HBO like muscle behind it so like that one got way more like buzz and it was also like weekly so like there's like there people were talking about it longer.
It's only weird because it's only like six episodes.
Yeah.
And I
It was like
think,
it was like the first like the Nevers was like it was like the first half of season one.
yeah, and then now like season part two of season
Two
one is gonna be the rest. Also,
yeah.
Joss Whedon was like executive producer.
Until he got like canceled and then removed from
Yeah, and they're
from
like,
being
please
talked
don't
about on
touch
it.
this.
Yeah.
And then Yeah, his thing was that like all of them were like it's like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen except no one is popular, and then it's just a bunch of women who mainly women who all have like a gift where it's like what the leader has like the main girl has like foresight, other person has the power of seeing electricity, and then another person can
I think one of them can make, like one of them can make glass or ice or something, or turn things into glass or ice.
And then it's like and then it's like all these people that like have special abilities. They basically
Did
are
you
mutants, but they're all.
did you see it, Chris, or not yet?
No, I'm just like reading
Because
all the.
it yeah it like the last couple like the last couple episodes, especially the last one, is like. Because there was a ton of people who were like who actually like the kind of like mid-season finale or whatever they're calling it, and they're just like, is this the right sh like is this actually like are they putting the right show on, like is this the actual show? Because it totally like the last episode like just like it's like to a totally different genre and a totally different like thing, and it's just like, wait, what? This is what the show is now? And then but then they like tie it back into like the Victorian stuff, you're like, wow, okay, this show is a lot, way weirder than I think we all thought it was going to be. But yeah, Sherlock Holmes, Guy Ritchie universe is expanding a decade later. But I guess we'll see what those are and like who what characters they're pulling into it. And then last bit of news is over on Paramount Plus, they have picked up a new show, another kind of crime show to go along with like Mayor of Kingstown and all their other like original shows. So it's a show called Finest Kind, and it's gonna star Tommy Lee Jones and Ben Foster,
Oh.
and it's basically. There, it's two brothers who are in this like kind of like commercial in New Bedford, Massachusetts. It's like one of the biggest commercial fishing ports in the U.S. And two brothers who reunite as adults, and then they kind of get like caught up in this like Boston crime syndicates because they owe money, or they're like desperate for money, so they have to make a deal, and then they kind of get like caught up in the Boston Underground.
Is Tommy Jones and Ben Foster brothers? Because there's a huge age gap.
No, Toby Wallace is playing Ben Foster's brother, and then Jenna Ortega is also in gonna star in the show.
What has she been in?
She was in she was in Scream, the new Scream. She was in actually like every horror movie this year she's been in. She was in like X and Scream, and then I think she was in like one other horror movie. Oh, she's gonna be Wednesday in the
Oh, okay.
Netflix
Yeah, okay. That's
show.
why the name sounds familiar.
Yeah. And actually, surprisingly, this is not like a like Taylor Sheridan show, because it's like every show on Paramount Plus is like created by Taylor Sheridan after like Y Yellowstone. But it's actually gonna be I think like co-creator like script's gonna be written by Brian Helgeland, who like wrote like. He won an Oscar for like LA Confidential,
Okay.
and he's also like and then he also has written like A Knight's Tale and Mystic River and Man on Fire. So yeah, lots really good pedigree there for the show. So and then that'll be on Paramount Plus sometime later this year. There's not an exact release date yet, but they said this year they'll be on there. And yeah, so that's it for news this week. So I jump into show and tell. And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
I have. So I saw The Adam Project finally.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I think it was everything people have talked about it to be, where it's heartfelt, it's funny, it's sort of like it's an all-star cast. It's got like I don't know, like a very like a great emotional beats. It almost feels like a
Well, they're trying to make it more feel like a like an 80s kind of like Spielberg Amblin kind of thing.
I was gonna say it's almost like Back to the Future in that
Yes.
sense. It feels like what's the director's name? The guy who made Back to the Future.
Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, it's like a Zemeckis movie. It feels very familiar in that way, where like you know the concept, you know, like you kind of are aware of the like overall scope, so nothing's like out of like you know, it's like comforting. The movie's very like
Yes. It pulls
there's
a lot of elements from like other movies and it kind of like remixes them into this one of like,
right, and
oh,
like I
here's
feel like there's no giant twists that you couldn't see coming just from the story beats.
No.
But the one thing that I had questions with was like the weird like time stick, or not time stick, but like the like not lightsaber stick sword.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you could use it to kill, because if you get hit with it, like it kills people, it disintegrates them in a very PG-13 way.
Yeah, because if you get killed outside of your like, what do they call it? Like the like your like designated time or like your like if you're outside of like the time you came from, then you're like outside of like the timeline. And if you get killed, like you like just disintegrate and blow up. It's like the
So it was
concept of it.
weird. So I was like, oh, are these robot people? Then I'm like, no, these are humans, right? Like the
Yeah,
like
they just have like
nameless
crazy
soldiers.
armor. Yeah.
But like they
But
died in like all these weird ways.
yeah.
Like
But yeah.
one fell, hit a tree and exploded. One of them was like flipped in the air and exploded. I was like, I don't understand. And then it's like the sword kills people or like it disintegrates them. I have no idea. Because you can use it to get up sometimes.
It's like an energy bow staff, and it hit, but it, like and then like if it's like charged up, it's like a lightsaber, but then also can like you can like generate shockwaves with it and like jump, like propel yourself with it.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, I'm a little confused about this MacGuffin weapon tool. Because I feel like, why doesn't the enemy not have these
Like,
staffs?
yeah. They just have like whatever like their future guns are.
Which sometimes are effective, sometimes they're not. Mostly they're not. So that was kind of weird. And then, like, we don't see any of the future world really. We see just space, but I kind of want to see what future world was like because it made it seem like it's
Especially,
terrible.
yeah, especially, yeah, like just show us like evil, like,
Google run world.
yeah.
I want to see that. Like, just because he made it seem really terrible, and it's like, okay, now I get like that,
What is,
you
yeah,
know.
they're like, he's like, Ryan Reynolds is like, oh, have you seen Terminator? It's like Terminator times 100 or something. Like,
And then we just never see that. It's just implied that it's terrible.
yeah. But Ryan Reynolds works for, he was working for the company, like he's like working for Katherine Keener's like company, because
Yes.
he stole the time machine from them, so he was part of the problem, like he was part of the, he was like working for like the like oppressive force that like controls the future.
That, see, that was kind of weird. And then it's like, yeah, well, I understand, like, then it's like they went back, the future evil woman went back and then tried to like kill to like kind of correct her mistakes, but all she had to do was just go even back further and then just, I don't know, convince the boy not to do it or just make sure the kid didn't become a pilot.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that correct the timeline that they're currently in?
She had to make like her like digitally de-aged self like buy a bunch of stocks or like buy a, like
Well,
he
that's
had
how
to make
she amassed money,
yeah
which
yeah
I get, right? But that's like not evil in a sense, that's just good business. And then I just don't understand the villain's thing where it's like, okay, she was trying to keep her money and her ill-gotten gains. But she I thought maybe it's implied that she killed Mark Buffalo, but like she didn't.
No, it was just a random car crash.
Yeah, I thought it was that. I thought she killed him to keep the secret or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even that. He just died on his own accord. And then, like, when they, I mean, that to me sucked was that, like, no matter what, he still died. you know, his character still died, but I guess they're like, this time they handled it better, like at the end.
I thought he was gonna like blow, like I thought he was gonna like blow himself up or something, or sacrifice himself, be like,
I thought that too.
Because he says that, he says the line of like, oh, it only exists, it exists in like the like algorithm in the, in my head. And so it's like, oh, well, he's gonna kill, he's gonna like,
he's gonna like Terminator himself.
He's gotta like sacrifice himself to like totally remove time travel from the future.
That's what makes sense. Like that would make more sense to me than this, where there's like echoes of what they kind of did. So their other selves kind of remember to do other things.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't figure out all the differences. Also, did you pick up on the end that it's an alternate time, like Ryan Reynolds, where he's not in flight school, but he's like just in regular college. So they meet earlier or something, or they, cause I couldn't figure out what he did, because says that he went to like flight Air Force school, right?
Yeah.
He went to Air Force, and then he met his future wife about flying or something.
Yeah, I think maybe because he like repaired his relationship with his mother, then like he didn't need to like run away and join the Air Force or whatever, or like he didn't get in trouble as much, so he didn't need to be like be in the military or something.
Right, they're meeting in regular college?
I guess, yeah, it was like a lecture about like re-entry into orbit or something. It was like some sort of like aeronautics like class or something. So maybe I think he still is trying to be like become like a pilot or something, or like an astronaut or something. I don't know.
That's the thing I couldn't figure out. Like, I thought, yeah, was this military college or just sort of like a physics class?
Is it Top Gun? Like,
but it seemed everyone around him is very not military. They're all like,
yeah,
future hipsters. So I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
So I was kind of confused by that ending. But I understood that, okay, they still meet, which was nice. Like, they were still destined to meet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just that. Like, that was my only complaint, is, like, the small details of figuring out how this, like, predestined stuff makes sense. Because that was Mark Ruffalo's thing, where, like, no, like, we can't mess it up. It's all, like, ahead of us. You can't, like, you can't fight fate and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, I understood he had to die, because he had to, but then it's like you don't, because it's proven by the evil other woman, like, you can fight fate, just don't do it like what she did. Don't try to like murder or start like, you know, Cyberdyne.
Yeah.
So but it's enjoyable. It was, I liked it better than I thought it would like it, because the chemistry of Ryan Reynolds and then the younger kid Ryan Reynolds was really good. Mm-hmm. I especially like the whole confronting your bully part, and then kind of like getting like a different outcome.
Yeah. And then Sean Levy and Ryan Reynolds are making Deadpool 3 together now, so the trilogy.
Good. I just hope they go back
free
to
guy,
like,
Adam Project. And, yeah. It was Free Guy, Adam Project, and then Deadpool 3. That's their the trilogy now.
That's gonna be their Cornetto trilogy.
yeah.
I was gonna say, I hope they do Deadpool 3 and they go back to like it being adult.
I think like Kevin Feige said like it is gonna be R-rated. So even though they're like part of like, it's gonna be like in the MCU, like it's still gonna be like R-rated. So
good. Let's see. And then I've been watching Warrior again, the like Cinemax show that HBO now has.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Warrior?
It's in my list, but I haven't gotten around to see it yet. Because I've heard like amazing things about it. So.
Oh yeah, like I watched it right, and I was in the mood for like a Western, and it's set like a Western. It's got like music and tone and actual like Western themes. And they go to the West because it's in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And man, like I slept on that series. Like I watched like the first two episodes, but I gave it a bigger chance this time. And holy shit, like I'm glad I'm watching it now. And like I don't want this series to end yet. Like it that needs. Is they got like a season two, then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing martial arts show. Every episode feels like a great like movie. It's got like the drama, the blood, the action, the nudity, that you probably would like. It kind of reminds me of Hell on Wheels, but like moves way faster. And it's got martial artists instead of like, guys shooting guns. It's more like gritty. And like a good amount of the actors have like stunt work background, or they are like martial artists first, then became actors. So everything has that degree of authenticity first.
Well, that's for like that was like Andrew Koji's big show, right? That's where like
Yep. His breakout role. So he's really good. He plays a guy who leaves China in search for his sister, and then he joins up with a gang who is rivals with another gang, and they've been at peace for a while, but the sudden interest for like lower city property, and then these like rich white people who kind of gain for profit for causing mayhem in San Francisco, like because it like brings publicity, it brings like more money in, and it brings more greed. And like, because if you lower the property, then you could buy up the land and all that. So having a gang war is really great for these like evil people. And it's like all these like factions within who is sort of making deals and backhanded ways of sort of escaping this town. And because most of the characters are Chinese, and during the 1890s, like it's not a great time to be not white. So you get a lot of the period authentic like racism, but then a lot of like martial art movies where it's like, okay, you still got like rules, you still got like honor, you still got some like Asian culture, Chinese like cultures that now are in America, and now they're doing their own thing and they're trying to become their own identity. So that's great. And that's like the one thing like I was just like, oh my God, like why is this not the highlight besides the martial artist part? But everything else, like amazing. You get like really fun, you get like surprising amount of like dialogue and comedy that just like is like, I guess, is the more modern martial art movies. You're not just like some guy who just like, oh yeah, I'm just here to do one thing and go about my business like a quiet hero. Like, no, the Andrew Koji is like kind of just like insulting people. He's like actually you get a lot of character development with him. I was expecting him to be like as much as we give Bruce Lee, his character is always like one dimensional. It's like the one flaw in all his Bruce Lee movies is that like he's pretty much the same guy in every movie. It sounds controversial, but prove me wrong. Like, all the Bruce Lee movies, he's always like some quiet Chinese guy who just shows up and becomes a badass at the last moment. I mean, maybe not the whole last moment, but pretty much Bruce Lee is like the surprise, like he's super good at martial arts. And then in this universe, Andrew Koji is basically Bruce Lee, but everyone's kind of good at martial arts. He just happens to be like faster. That's the one thing I get, because he's the hero. Like he's the one of the heroes in the story. So obviously he's not going to be getting his ass kicked all the time. But he's really good. So I'm sticking with that. I burned through like half of season one. Pretty easy watch, but I sunk a lot of time watching that. And I caught the second episode of Moon Knight. And then we can talk about that if we want.
I saw too.
So,
Got to see
Moon
Mr.
Knight,
Knight.
Mr. Knight, just not knowing what to do. I can't wait for him to Mr. Knight. I hope Mr. Knight is actual Mr. Knight at some point, not just like bumbling Steven.
Although I did love his like Cockney bar brawl, like just like come at
Banter.
you, yeah, come on, have a slobber knocker, like.
I mean, yeah, I just feel like I'm watching Bert from Mary Poppins just try to take on a monster from The Mummy. It was weird though to see Oscar Isaac like in that costume, because he didn't look It looks okay, but it looks really more realistic that he did find a white suit and a white mask. Like, it didn't look like the Moon Knight
Yeah,
meme.
the actual like Mark's like actual like Moon Knight suit is like straight like super like looks great right out of the comic. Then yeah, then Mr. Knight's just like this like we found this suit like and we got
We
like
found
a
a deal at like Filene's basement or
yeah.
Marshall's. We put together all the white clothing, which I get. Like, he is more grounded, but it just, he didn't look slim. Like, he didn't look like, I don't know. It's weird to see him fight that way, even though it's like very brief. But I do prefer my Mr. Knight, like, as a gangster kingpin than a brawler.
I did also really like that, like the Jackal monster is invisible, like
Yeah.
only Mark slash Steven can see it. So you get
Well,
like,
he's like completely invisible because you can still throw water at it and it'll give
yeah,
you an outline.
it's invisible to like. It's like normal people, but you can like you feel like it's not like it's like in his head, it's like there, but it's just like invisible. But it is like attacking people and like running over cars and stuff, just but only the Moon Knight can like actually see it
Yeah.
without like without, yeah, like, without throwing like water or like you could probably throw like paint on or something and have it like appear all the time. The classic like Invisible Man trick, just throw like paint or mud or oil or something on it so you can see it.
What did
But
you
yeah.
think about the revelation that Ethan Hawke was the previous Moon Knight?
That was interesting. And now he's like, I don't know if he's trying to like become it doesn't seem like he's trying to become like, because like I don't, it doesn't seem like Aminet has like an avatar. They're just trying to like bring her like physically into the world or something, and then she'll like judge everyone and remove everyone who's going to be evil.
Yeah, I think it's just like he
It's
wants to bring judgment.
a very Thanos s plan of like we're gonna like kill like a ton of people and then the world will be like a paradise. All the evil people that like or like everyone that Aminet judges to be evil will be gone, so only the good people will be left.
Yeah, I kind of got the idea, but I just want to know, like, are we gonna see like their flashback of him as Moon Knight or something?
Yeah, into that. Hopefully we get some sort of flashback of like how Bark became like the Moon Knight too. Like see like the mission that like where he was basically dead and then like Khonshu came to him.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like, there's a lot of cool ideas behind it. It's just we're kind of like, there's not a lot of episodes left. You know, it's like 8 episodes, I think, for the season.
Well, it's six,
Oh,
so
Jesus.
there's four more episodes.
So, like, right when we understand everything, we get, like, less Steven, you know? We get, you know, like, we. I've heard some people say that, you know, especially for the comic characters, that they like the earlier, the Mark Spector era ones. We're just getting like the bumbling, you know, Steven that is sort of annoying to me. Like, I don't mind him being this way, but I wanted like a half-sea split. Now it's sort of like they're doing that cliche mirror person talk. I don't mind it again. Again, still pretty interesting. It's just like,
They're in Egypt now, so
yeah, I just want to see more explanation of things and maybe.
I just wanted to turn like the mummy, like the Brendan Fraser mummy. We're just like now we're like in pyramids fighting like jackal monsters and Anubis dogs or something, and it's like. It turns into like an Indiana Jones like mummy movie or something.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I know what you mean about that. I'm for it. You know, but my other question is, there's like, how are we gonna fold into the MCU? It just seems like no one gives a shit about any of this right now.
Well, it's definitely post blip, I think, because there's a ad in the bus, like Double Decker bus, for like that whatever that group that was like trying to like the global relocation group, whatever. That's like trying to put people everyone back where they were before they got snapped.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it was like they were introduced like the Falcon and Winter Soldier last year. It's like whatever that group they got funded created by the UN to like get people back in their houses or whatever, or back to like whatever country they're supposed to belong to.
Right.
I noticed that on the bus there was like an advert like, it's like we'll help you like relocate or whatever. It was that GCR or whatever, GCN or whatever that organization is.
That's cool. I don't know, I just feel like ever since we kind of established that there's a greater universe, don't just imply that there's only like one villain, one hero at a time.
Mm-hmm. So you see anything else, Chris, or?
That's about it.
Well, speaking of Marvel stuff, so I saw Morbius, which somehow I think was sort of a hit at the box office. Like, it made pretty much what Sony expected it to make. So I don't know if that like it makes them like confident or just like or like how that affects like their universe they're building going forward. But you know, definitely was not as big a hit as either like Venom movies. Like, I think both Venoms made like at least double what Morbius made. But Morbius just overall. Its biggest sin is that it's super boring and bland. Like, it's so uninteresting. There's like nothing you haven't seen before. Like, it just hits like these like just be, like exactly the beats you expected to hit, and then that's it. Like, it's not anything like new or interesting, or there's no like interesting performances. Like, there's not like a, you know, there's not like a Tom Hardy level like performance like a set of everything. So basically you have Jared Leto is obviously playing Michael Morbius, who is I'm gonna reveal spoilers, because I don't think you don't care, Chris, and then I don't think anyone else really cares about Morbius. So, if you somehow care about spoilers for Morbius, like fast forward a little bit. So Jared Leto's playing Morbius. He has a like rare genetic blood disorder. They're trying to cure, but then he also created like fake blood. Like, he creates synthetic blood that like people you can use like for like blood transfusions and stuff to like help people. So he's like at the beginning of the movie, like he's getting a Nobel Prize, but then he rejects the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, like insults everyone who gave him that award.
Yeah, which we don't see it's the beginning of this movie is like a mess of just like editing and just like why are scenes in this order? Because it's like it opens with like that. So the first scene of the movie is like that scene from the trailer where like he's like at the Bat Cave, like trying to like collect. He's collecting the bats, the trailer made it seem like he became Morbius because of the bats. Like, there like some whatever experiment he was like doing was like when the bats flew out that made him into Morbius or like the living vampire.
I thought it was like a super bat old, you know, virus or something.
No, it's just like they show that scene. And then they cut to a flashback of like 25 years before that, where it's like young Morbius and then like his surrogate brother or like adopted brother, Milo, is played by Matt Smith in the present day. And so there's a flashback about that. And then they cut to like back to like the present. But then if you've seen movies before, you think like, oh, we're going to like build back up to that scene at the Batcave. Like, we're like see what led him to like do that experiment. But then you realize, no, we're past that. Like, we're just like,
what?
He's already captured the bats. We're back in like we're forward from the opening scene. We're not building back up to the opening scene. We're past it. So we just
imply that he built this laser thing to capture bats or whatever.
We never see him, they show that opening scene, they cut to like the kid flashback, and then you cut back to like what you think is like earlier than the opening scene, but it's not, it's after the opening scene. So you're just like, wait, what? Like, because he's mentioned like, oh yeah, capture all these bats on in South America. And it's like, wait, what? How? Like, because in the whole movie just has like stuff like that where it's just like it feels like there's just like chunks of the movie just cut out or just like never shot, where it's just like it's where it seems like important information is happening of just like we should probably have known this or seen this or like get more explanation besides like one line from someone. Because then he somehow got these bats, and then like he somehow creates like a serum of like, hey, I made a serum for these bats. It's just like, all right.
That he captured.
Yeah, he captured with his like weird laser net thing that they never explain how it works. Like he just like I guess lures them into like a net, but it's not really a net. I don't know. I have no idea how that thing works. But that's not what causes him to become Morbius. That whole scene from the trailer. That's just him catching the bats.
Okay. What a letdown on that scene set.
What actually causes him to turn into a living vampire is the serum that he makes. Because he thinks it's something with like there's like the vampire bats have like some sort of like anticoagulant in their blood or in their bodies that he thinks will like help his like disorder that he has. So then he does this experiment. He turns into like more. He turns into like a living vampire and starts like he kills like this whole ship of like mercenaries that were like helping him because they can't do the experiment in like New York City or like they have to like go into international waters to do like his like crazy experiment. So he hires a ship full of, like mercenaries to, like take him out to the middle of the ocean. But then he turns into like a vampire and kills everyone.
He kills his own men.
He kills the mercenaries that he hired to like kind of like guard him and like guard and like pilot, like you know pilot the ship out to the ocean.
Wait. So were they bad guys?
I mean, they were mercenaries. I don't know if they were like I don't know what they did before this, but Matt Smith just makes like a mentions like they were pretty bad, so it's fine. We'll cover it up. It'll be fine. Like because Matt Smith's character. Which we never find out about how he got like he's super super wealthy, like he somehow became like between the time he, like he was in like the hospital with Morbius and became like brothers to like the present day, like he became like this like billionaire who like owns the entire like foundation that Morbius works for, like Horizon is like where like Morbius does all his like research and stuff.
Okay.
So Matt Smith pays for everything, and then. The whole big conflict is that Matt Smith finds out like, oh, Morbius, you found a cure. And then Morbius is like, no, I found like, I'm my disease is kind of gone, but like, I'm also like a fucking vampire now. That wants to like drink blood all the time. And also he has to drink blood or else his like disease will come back. So it's drinking blood will it keeps him from like reverting back to like his like kind of like weakened, blood disorder. Like he has to work on crutches, like, to get like blood transfusions all the time. So if he drinks blood, he's like super super strong and like super powerful, but then he also like is a vampire. So Morbius is like, no, this is a curse. I'm not gonna give you the cure, Matt Smith, because this is like a curse that I'm not gonna give anyone. But then Matt Smith off screen somehow gets the serum. That's because he owns the building, he just walks in and takes it or something. So he becomes a vampire, but he's the evil vampire of the two, and Matt Smith is like just running around killing people, and then Morbius is like drinking his own like synthetic blood so he doesn't have to like kill people.
Is it plasma or blood now?
It's like blue. It looks like blueberry Go-Gurt, and he's like sucking it down like that. It's fake blood that you can like use to like. If someone like is lost a lot of blood, you can like give them like Morbius' fake blood, and then they'll basically like replace like real blood. There's no explanation of like how he created that or what's fake blood. they just mentioned like, oh yeah, he created synthetic blood.
Anyway,
which is such like a world changing like that changes like the entire like face of medicine. Like it's like if you have a synthetic blood that you can use to, like instead of real blood, like so many people are like saved or like there's it's crazy.
It's super
like,
vital about that, right? It seems like that should be the end of the movie, not the beginning of the movie.
It's just a tossed out like, oh yeah, he's been like researching the cure for his disorder, but he also made fake blood, like. But then the whole thing is like the fake blood. Its effectiveness is like going down. So like it only like helps him like for like a certain amount of time, and then the time keeps going down. So that's like at a certain point he's like the fake blood's not gonna work for him anymore to keep him from like becoming like a vampire, becoming like a crazy like. Like quenching his thirst, like keeping it from like going like crazy, like full vampire mode. But then he has to like figure out how to stop Matt Smith, because Matt Smith is like going on a rampage across New York City, like sucking people dry and killing people. So that's basically the whole like the whole conflict is like Morbius is trying to cure himself or like figure out how to like control his thirst, but then like Matt Smith is running around like murdering people, and then Morbius is the one that gets arrested for it, because like Tyrese is running around like as like an FBI agent, like trying to figure out like there's a guy people are getting killed by a vampire, we gotta find them. There's a news report of like someone's just like there's a mysterious death happening around, they're calling it the vampire murderer.
I wonder what that means.
So they dub Morbius the vampire murderer.
Wow.
But yeah.
Hey, who's the villain of Morpheus? Just like his brother?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what's like. Yeah, Matt Smith takes whatever cure Morbius, which is not really cure, but he becomes a vampire, and then he is like he has no qualms about like killing people and drinking like regular blood, so he's just going around like sucking people dry around New York City and like be like I'm an immortal vampire now, I'm just gonna like go crazy and like. Yeah, like I don't care.
A ridiculously rich man, and then it's like he becomes a vampire. And is he vulnerable to sunlight?
There's no traditional vampire weaknesses. Like they make jokes about it throughout the movie. Like someone has like holy water, and they're just like, no, that's stupid. That doesn't work. or like Jared Leto is just kind of like, I'm not that kind of vampire. Like crosses, holy water, garlic. I'm not a vampire. Like I'm just like a, but I have to drink blood. So,
I mean, he gets super. So like,
in the movie he gets like super strength, and then he can like, he sort of has like Nightcrawler like teleportation powers where he like, because that's like his whole like fighting style is like he like teleports around and like slashes people and like teleports around and like to like fly around places too. And then he has echolocation, so he can listen and like pinpoint where things are, or like find out where stuff is. And then he has it's either he flies on sound waves or he flies on the air or something. Like they never explain how he flies. Like it's just a scene where he's just like in a subway tunnel and he like puts his hand out and he's like. I can fly now, I guess. He just does it. Like, there's no explanation. Like, he doesn't explain later, like, oh, I felt the sound waves. I could fly in the sound waves or whatever. It's just like, he just does it and for, like, one scene, that's it. And then he never does it again. And then the craziest thing is, like, toward the end, you find out that he can control bats. So then he uses bats against Matt Smith to like he does a Hadouken motion from Street Fighter and like starts throwing bats at Matt Smith in like fireball kind of style. It's like these like balls of bats hitting him.
Wait, so I'm confused. Why did Matt Smith become a vampire though? Just because he's like, oh cool.
Because he has the same blood genetic disorder as Morbius. They were like in the same hospital as kids. So that when Matt Smith finds out like, oh, you cure yourself, Jared Leto, you don't have crutches anymore, like you're
healthy again. Does Matt Smith have crutches too?
Yeah, he has the exact same disease that Morbius has.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, oh, you found a cure, give me the cure. He's like, no, I'm not gonna give you the cure. Like I'm a fucking vampire now. Like I have to drink blood to survive. And then Matt Smith's like, I don't care. Like I'd rather like do that than like die from my disorder. So that he off screen. Because we never see him however he gets it. He takes the cure, like the quote unquote cure too, and then he becomes a vampire. And then he's just like, yeah, I'm Dracula now. I'm just gonna like go around and kill people and I'm super psyched about being like a murderous vampire.
And does he look ugly too, like Morpheus?
Yeah, they like. it seems like whenever they, I think it's whenever they, if they drink human blood, like actual blood, not like fake blood, or like when they're like getting hungry, then they like totally revert to like their like vampire-ness, the vampire state. Because like, because Morbius, whenever when he's drinking like his fake blood, like he doesn't turn into a, like a full vampire mode, but then when he eventually, because he has to drink like real blood, obviously toward the end to like fight Matt Smith, so like that's when he becomes like a full on like Morbius like living vampire, like he's got like the ears, the fangs, and like the red eyes and everything. So, but yeah, it's just like it's the like the. It just feels edited to hell. Like it's just really kind of boring and bland. Like the action, like there's a couple of glimmers of like cool action here and there, but like not enough to like really like oh yeah, you gotta go see Morbius for the action. Like, and there's so many scenes from the trailers that aren't in the movie. Like, you remember that in the trailers, like that scene where like he's like breaking the guy's wrists and he's just like, I'm Venom. No, it's just me, Michael Morbius. Like,
yeah, does that happen?
They do the I am Venom joke, and then they cut the entire like joke at the end about him just being like, hey, it's Michael Morbius, I'm here at service. So he just makes an I am Venom joke, and then everyone runs out of the room, and he's just like, wait, what? That makes even less sense than like him making a joke about Venom and saying like he's Michael Morbius. Like, and then the biggest thing is that all of the Michael Keaton scenes that you've seen all the trailers are not in the movie.
Oh boy.
So Michael Keaton only shows up for the post-credit scenes, which are a whole another level of just insanity. Because so there's two post-credit scenes. The first one is you cut to the New York City skyline. You see like the purple like multiversal like crack from No Way Home.
Oh.
So, and then Michael Keaton's Adrian Toomes from the MCU appears in a prison cell in Morbius Venom universe, and then like there's a news report of like, oh, this guy Adrian Toomes appeared in a jail cell, and there's no record of him in our in like the system, so we're gonna release him because there's like no reason for him in jail. There's no crimes he committed here, so like he needs to release now.
Wait, they recognize he's an interdimensional traveler.
He appears in jail, and then people are like, wow, that's weird. But we don't have any record of this guy, so there's no record of any crimes he committed, so we're just going to release him from jail because he's not a criminal. Mm-hmm. For everything we can see in our system, he's not a criminal. He doesn't exist, so we're just going to release him. And then, so that's the first thing. Michael Keaton from the MCU appears in the Sony Morbius Venomverse. And then the second post-credit scene is Morbius is driving down the road in a desert or somewhere... like some unknown time after the movie, the main events of the movie, and then he pulls over, and then Vulture flies up in his full suit somehow that he rebuilt apparently in this new universe.
What?
Even though that suit was like Chitauri like technology and like whatever, yeah. He salvaged from like the Battle of New York. So, but yeah, somehow he's totally rebuilt his entire suit from Homecoming
and the flight suit.
The entire flight suit, the wings, everything.
And he had his jacket, his bomber jacket?
And his bomber jacket, yep. He's got the fur-lined leather jacket and everything.
He somehow has that.
He has everything he had in Homecoming somehow in this universe. And then he basically flies up to Morbius and is like, hey, Dr. Morbius, I heard about you. I think I'm here because of Spider-Man. We should team up. That's the entire scene.
That makes no sense.
Exactly.
Okay. What about the shot with like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man poster in the background?
Nope, that's not in the movie. And none of the other Michael Keaton scenes, like, you know, there's like the scene where he's just like, I'll keep an eye out for you, Doc, or like there's scenes where it's like it looks like he and Morbius had like actual like extended like scenes, like a Joker style like interrogation scene maybe or something.
Yeah. I thought it wasn't in the trailer. It seemed like a hospital thing.
No, it's just it's just like. All of that's cut, and then it's just these super bizarre, insane post-credits scenes that make absolutely no goddamn sense. Like, why would Morbius team up with Vulture? Why, like Vulture mentioned Spider-Man. Like, Morbius has no idea who the fuck Spider-Man is, probably. Maybe, I mean, I think they said there is a Spider-Man in this universe, but we just haven't seen them yet or something. I don't know.
This is the Venom exists in this one, right?
Yes. Which which yeah, which like vent like there's like the Venom the Carnage scene made absolutely no goddamn sense either, because it was like he blipped over to like the MCU for like an hour, it seemed like he was at a bar for, and then he like blipped back to like his universe, and it was like what is this, like why what was the point of this? Just it was that like that scene felt like Sony just being like we have to somehow tie it to Spider-Man No Way Home, because that's like the MCU movie. They're just riding the coattails of the MCU and like trying to like do the same thing, but they just do it terribly. Like whatever universe they're building is just like this like weird pale like shadow of like the MCU.
Jesus.
Yeah, but yeah, I would not recommend Morbius. Maybe if it's like on street like streaming or like if you have like a Redbox or something, I don't, maybe that then. But like, it's so uninspired and bland, and like it's just like there's nothing interesting. Not even like Jared Leto's not even doing like a crazy performance. Like he's not doing like a like a Joker Paolo Gucci, like for better or for worse. Like he does like interesting characters, quote unquote, and Morbius is just such a like a nothing of a character. Like he says like he like makes a couple like funny comments possible and that are sort of funny, and then that's it. Like he has no like really personality, and like everyone else in the movie has like almost no personality. It's all just like you're either just like stock stereotypes or just like it feels like they're on tranquilizers or something. It's just like everyone is just like so like low energy and just like not into seemingly not into it. Like the only person like really like doing like anything interesting is like Matt Smith, because he's like really like hamming it up as like the, especially when he like is like a vampire, like he's just like really like leaning into like the like hammy villain thing, but that's it's like too little too late at that point.
It's like salvaging sort of the craziness that you feel like Jared Leto would do, but he probably isn't.
Yeah. It needed more of like the Tom Hardy Venom energy of less like just go this like lean into it and just go nuts with it. Like have Jared Leto like when he's like a vampire just like go like completely nuts or something. But yeah, it's just like a bland nothing burger movie. But yeah, so I saw that. And then I also saw a movie that I think you saw a couple months ago, Chris, and talked about on the show, The 355.
Oh, boy.
Which, slightly better than Morbius, but still definitely also another just, like, by-the-numbers, like action movie 101. Like, here's the beats. It felt like the plot was basically like a Fast and Furious plot, because it like the fight, like that like hacking super weapon thing was like basically the same thing from like I think like actually like F10 or like the most recent one, because that's what like John Cena is like stealing, is like this like device that can like hack into anything, and that's what the 355 MacGuffin is, but then the 355 has like no like. Said like has like no over the top action or like crazy personalities or like anything from the Fast and Furious movies, and it also seems like it's trying to be like a Mission Impossible movie too, but then also like just cannot live up to like anything of Mission Impossible.
Yeah, like it looks like it would be sleeker, like it you know, presentation, setting, and then just three things only happen in this movie. It's like a chase scene between the agents in the beginning, between like the German and American agent. Mm-hmm.
There's like a
shootout
fight
in the market.
Yeah. And then the big like finale.
Big finale. I would say like the shootout, sort of the shootout in the Egyptian market too. Like there's the initial, the first shootout where like all the agents kind of first meet. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one where they do like the stealth takedowns, which happened hilariously quick.
Oh, in the Egyptian market, where like they're doing like John Wick style, just like walking up, just like pop, 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 you're dead.
Yeah,
like,
the silencer that like takes yeah. out all these assassins. That I mean, yeah. I get like the bullets probably don't have sounds, but their body hitting the ground would make sounds.
Yeah, one guy fell off a roof. Like, and it was so obvious. Like Sebastian Stan was gonna like have like a heel turn because like it's like oh he's dead, but they don't show his body, so it's like oh he's coming back.
The
like,
one-on-one mistake. You just yeah. like oh he died, and then the boss guy is like he's dead. Yep, he's just dead. Yeah. I'm like you're a bad guy too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of like, when's this gonna pay off? When's this gonna be like a big thing? And when they do it, it's sort of like, yeah, that kind of makes sense in a like rush way. But the biggest thing I think is just the surprise like kills, like torture scenes that happen at the end.
That was generally surprising. I was like, oh, they actually like, because I thought it was gonna be like a possibly like a some sort of like deep fake thing or something where it's like, oh, we didn't actually do that. Like we just wanted to like get you to talk, but it's like, right. No, like it's like Lupita Nyong'o's husband is dead. And then like Diane Kruger's like boss is dead. Fan Bingbing's father's dead in the room. Like,
yeah. Like those are like consequences.
I did look like Sebastian Stan has like the line of like Jessica Chastain is like, well, you don't really have any friends. We haven't known to kill you. We've been known to kill for you. So she is like, there's like no one held hostage. It's just like the, her like 355 team is like the people that are being held hostage. Not like, mm-hmm. She has like no one remotely to like worry about. Cause she's so obsessed with the job. She's so obsessed with being a CIA agent.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but then.
Oh, I think you mentioned it like when you watched it, Chris. But like the I feel like there's been like a couple of these like movies recently where this is like the like weird like moral or like the like arc of the character. But like Penelope Cruz's character of just like her like arc is like I'm gonna I have to like learn to like kill people. That's my arc. Like I'm like a pacifist psychologist, but then like my arc is like I'm gonna like eventually shoot Sebastian Stan in the chest with a gun.
But not a good shot because he still lives.
No. Yeah, he still lives, but yeah.
He walks off that shot. He gets off scot-free for all these things.
Yeah.
That was weird. Like, did they not have evidence or anything against him?
Yeah, like what does the CIA think happened? Like the boss is dead. Like they had like Sebastian Stan is like he's like he was arrested in or like the like whatever like Hong Kong police or wherever they were, Shanghai police where they were like arrested him.
Mm-hmm. Like another country could be like, we found your agent. He's a double agent. Like, please believe yeah. us.
He's like. And like the 355 have like no evidence of like, oh, here's like he's like here's his bank accounts he's getting it from like Jason Fleming or whatever. they didn't get any evidence of like his like bank accounts or like his like communications or anything, or like they're just like we're just gonna leave you for dead with the Hong Kong. Well, I guess they all get arrested, but then like they also never explain like how any of them got. I guess Fan Bingbing just like got them all out of jail or something, I guess, because she's like a Chinese agent, so she got like the Chinese police to like release them all. But
yeah, I guess like they were just like scot-free in that district, but then it's an international crime, so it doesn't apply.
Yeah, because like they're all like Jessica Chastain isn't like reinstated as a CIA agent. She's like a rogue now. She's like a rogue agent now.
Yeah, that's why I was like confused how they could sort of still pin the crime on her.
Yeah,
because then they blame her and stuff, and then it's like, nah, not really.
Oh man, and that whole—I think you mentioned this too, Chris. But that whole final scene is just so stupid. Like, Like the 3-5 eye line comes is like it's like so tossed off. It was just like,
Oh yeah,
what the
all
fuck
the
is what?
stupid like what do you call this? And it's just like, we're the 3-5. Do you mention the 3-5-5? This like thing we learned back into the academy. Like
Like it's like,
yeah. Anyway, just I thought it would be fun to let you know.
what does that have to do with anything in that scene? Like it has nothing, nothing to do with it. It's like a weird, like they told like how do you not do like a like that's the scene where they all walk out and like Sebastian's like passing out. Or just, how do they not do like we're the 3-5-5, like a scene like that, like where it's just like that's the name of the movie, like.
But then it's like she's not Agent 355. They're
No.
not Agent 355s. Like the organization is not 355.
Yeah.
Why call this 355?
Yeah. They don't like go like, oh, we're the 3-5-5 now. It's like there's like all just like, well, that was weird. Bye. Like.
We'll see each other in the sequel. No, you
Yeah.
won't.
They literally do like a. It's like that like Simpsons joke from like when it was like the spin-off showcase where like Chief Wiggum is like Magna PI, which is like I have a feeling we'll see him each and every week when like the bad guys get away, like Big Daddy. It's just like I let him go. I have a feeling we'll see him each and every week. It feels like that. Like that, and this movie's just like I have a feeling we'll be back together in the sequel, if there is one.
And it wasn't because the movie made like no money.
Yeah. It got like almost immediately like dumped onto like Peacock or something after a couple weeks. So yeah, I don't think we're gonna see the 3-5-5 again anytime soon. But yeah, I mean it wasn't terrible. It was just like not like it was just like a most like bare bones like this is like a international action like espionage movie. Like you've
It
seen,
was cool set pieces. There were fun ideas.
yeah.
Just
I will the final shootout in like the apartment or whatever, like the penthouse or whatever. I feel like that was kind of sloppy because it's just like where the hell is everyone? Because everyone just kept running around in circles and it was just like where is everyone in relation
the
to everyone else?
strategy
Like
was to run in there and start shooting.
yeah, and then like. Because it's like a circular room, it seems like. So people are just like running around the whole room, and it's just like where are you shooting at? Like how are you not shooting each other? Like, and
You
there's like,
just shoot a man.
yeah, and there's like stuff going on in the hallway that like it's just like are these guys going in? Or like why are they just hanging out in the hallway? And like Penelope Cruz just hanging out in the hallway, like and no one sees her, like,
Well, it takes like all this courage to finally enter the room.
yeah.
And like that's the funny thing is like she kind of is like psyching herself up, and then like she does one thing.
Yeah.
I thought she would do a lot more. I thought she'd be, I don't know, the one to grab the the MacGuffin box. What did you
Yeah.
think about the stupid MacGuffin box? How poorly protected that like US that casing was.
Yeah, it's such a weird dumb it wasn't like interesting at all. The other thing like Fast and Furious, like going back to that again, like their thing was like a weird like sphere, like a sphere with all these like lights on it and stuff. And so like it's like that's a hacking device. Like this is just like a brick. Like a shitty brown brick that has like one like a red light on it. It's like this is like the greatest weapon in the history of mankind. Like,
Yeah,
and
this
they
is what
just
destroys humanity, is just like this stupid ass
and it's just like it's got every malware worm hacking. It's just like they just it's just like such like gibberish of just like
of
cybersecurity
tech
like.
terms.
Yeah, just like I Googled cybersecurity before when I wrote the scripts, like, and then it's like you gotta solve like the whatever like the alg the lock or whatever the algorithm to like unlock the functions, and you just but then once you get unlocked, you just like pick like blow up planes, right? You just like
Turn off microwave.
select what you want from the menu. Like, do you want to like cause World War III? Like black out a city? Like. Press OK. Yeah, it was. It definitely. I feel like that was definitely like they like spruce that thing up, like jazz the thing up a little bit, like make it like look more interesting.
Let me tell you, that was probably better than seeing Ava. It just gave me like flashbacks whenever I see goddamn.
Could at least this was an action movie.
Yeah.
It was definitely better than Dark Phoenix, which is Simon Kimber's previous movie to this one. So
Holy shit, same person?
same director, yeah, because Simon Kimber like direct he had produced all the X-Men movies, and then he finally started directing with like Dark Phoenix, and then he directed this one. So he's getting better, at least. Yeah, I would say this one feels like a like well, I mean, it's not Peacock, so if you have Peacock you can stream it, or this one feels like a Redbox movie. This one feels like you're at Redbox, just like, oh yeah, there's Re-Fi-Fi that came out. It's also weird that this movie came out like this year. It feels like this movie came out like 4 years ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It came out in January. But yeah, so I also saw that, and then the last thing I saw is I saw Cursed Films on Shudder. So season two of Cursed Films, actually. So season one, I think it was like last year or 2 years ago. But this is like it's a documentary series about like movies that had like a particularly like troubled like production, or like there's or like it seems like they have a curse on them, or like think bad things happened to the actors afterwards. So like the first season was like, you know, like The Crow, obviously. That was a very troubled production. Or like Twilight Zone the movie, and Poltergeist. But season two kicked off with The Wizard of Oz, which I think there's definitely been like a lot of stuff, and like, you know, like urban legend stuff about it and stuff. And they get into like a lot of like they get into like the like you know, like the hanging like Munchkin, if that's like actually a thing or not. And a lot of just like so much crazy stuff happened on that, like just like on that movie, like accidents and like just disasters and stuff. Like Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch, like she almost burned to death on that movie, because like there was this thing where like the scene where she disappears from like Munchkinville or Munchkin Land, she like disappears like in like that like that like puff of smoke and like that ball of flame, and then but apparently she was supposed to fall like a trap down a trap door, but then the flames like got set off at like the wrong time, or like something happened with the fire effect. So then she like got like second degree burns on her face, like third degree burns on her hands. And then there was another thing where like her stunt double was on like a it's like the scene where like she's like skywriting on the broom, and there's supposed to be like another, there's like a flame device on the back of the broom that you press a button and it's supposed to like go off. So then like Margaret Hamilton came back and was like, there's no fucking way I'm doing like flames again. Like I'm not doing that. Like that. There's no way I'm getting your flames again in this movie. So they put her stunt double on the broom. Stunt double presses the button. The broom blows up and like
Oh
gives
my
like and like embeds her with like metal shards and like burns and everything. And then there's the whole thing with like I think it was it Buddy Ebsen or like
The Tin Man, right?
yeah, the guy who's gonna play the thing Tin Man. He they did like screen tests, and they're shooting. I think they were like shooting, or like they're I think he was like there pretty early on, but then like the silver they made the silver paint with like actual like aluminum dust, and then he was like breathing in the aluminum dust and basically destroyed his lungs. And like he was like because like his like fingers and hands started going numb, and then like his whole arms went numb, and then like he was like eventually like it just like woke up and it was like, I can't breathe. Like I'm like and they found out like, oh yeah, you've like you have pneumonia because like you've like breathed in so much aluminum dust that like you're like lungs are destroyed now.
Yeah, you basically like breathe in like
Like
micro
micro
metal, and
aluminum,
it's
yeah, micro
yeah,
metal, like metal shards basically.
and your body's like under attack.
Yeah. So yeah, so they get into all that stuff on this episode of Cursed Films. The whole show is a pretty like it's a pretty great like documentary kind of like behind the scenes stuff. If you want to, like interested in any of those movies, or interested in like the weird like stuff that happened. Stuff. Some of it's like, it's just like, oh, is this like urban legend, or like it's like oh, it's cursed because a bunch of people died afterwards. But then some of them are like the Crow and Twilight Zone are just like oh, actual like horrible things happen on these sets. So. And especially those steps, they really get into like how those accidents happened. Like they really get into like how Brandon Lee got shot on the Crow, and they really get into like the circumstances that led to like that insane like helicopter crash in Twilight Zone the movie.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So definitely interesting. If you're interested in any of those movies, or interested in kind of seeing like how some of that stuff happened. And I think season two of Cursed Films is gonna be 4 episodes, and it's Wizard of Oz, and then I think they really haven't said what the next ones are gonna be, but it's weekly on Shudder. It's like Thursday on Shudder. If you have Shudder, check it out. And that's it for me this week. So we wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. You've got all of our stuff up there. We're gonna be doing another commentary soon. We're gonna have we're gonna be watching the Nicolas Cage classic next for the April commentary. So come back in a couple weeks for that. Just time for the massive weight of incredible talents, or whatever. What's the massive weight of
I think it's incredible talent.
The unbearable weight of massive talent.
That's it.
Celebrating all things Nicolas Cage. So we're gonna watch a more deeper cut Nicolas Cage, and one that's like completely ridiculous, or more ridiculous than you probably remembered it being. So that's coming up soon. You can check out all the other commentaries up on the site as well. Like last month was Batman Forever, and then all the regular features up there on the site as well. To head over, check all that stuff out. And so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.